What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols Podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk the Riverhounds versus Louisville. We'll recap some U.S. Open Cup action, and we'll preview the Hounds' upcoming match against Harrisburg. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle. Back to
kicking it old school tonight, Kev. Just the two of us talking about, you know, the Hounds after back-to-back losses. This feels like early 2016, baby.
As soon as you said that, I thought of that Will Smith song, Just the Two of Us. It's not the right context for it, but I mean, the way you said it.
You're gonna I don't know.
Right, I don't, you said, no, I'm definitely not saying that. No one wants to hear that. I don't. You said, and I guess you're technically right about back-to-back losses, but I certainly don't have it in my mind like that. Do you? Yeah, is that how you think about it? Like, okay, yeah, we've lost two in a row. You're technically right. I mean, but it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not two league games. Yeah. So, yeah. You know all I can think about now? Is Dr. Evil and Mini-Me singing Just the Two of Us.
Yeah, like,
I can't even think of the
one.
Original. I just think of those two at the piano.
What's the better version? Tweet your responses at Mongo.
Yeah, let us know who has a better version. So, you know, Dr. Evil and Mini-Me, or was it Will Smith who did the? It wasn't Will Smith who did the.
I thought so.
Or did he do a version with like Jaden when he was still trying to make Jaden?
Yeah.
Like the next thing.
That's what I thought. Wasn't his record called like Big Willie Style or something like that?
Oh yeah, yeah, he had Big Willie Style. Yeah.
He had hits.
Yeah. Although I will say Jaden is in the Netflix show The Get Down, which.
Yeah, it's
I
good.
Watched the first season of it, and I got one episode into the second season, and my wife isn't a huge fan of it, so I have to keep finding an excuse to watch it when she's not around. So I keep having like send her out of the house, and then I can watch it.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say it's one of those things where she has to be out of the house and the kids have to be asleep because it's not age appropriate. So very.
I watched the first season. I haven't watched the second season yet, but the first season is good just for like. Music and everything. Even if you don't even like the show, I mean the soundtrack is incredible. So
it makes me almost wish that I was like completely broke living in New York in the 70s.
Almost is the key word.
that's how the show romanticizes it. All right, well, I don't think there's any good segues from that into what happened here in the Louisville game, so I'm not even gonna try. But we'll do things a little bit out of order here. I mentioned we're going to talk some U.S. Open Cup. We'll talk about that after the Louisville game since that's what's freshest in our minds. Louisville come to town. Hounds lose 1-0 at home off of a 7th-minute tap-in by Luke Spencer. Let's do it. Let's talk takeaways, Kev. What's one of your takeaways from this game?
Thinking about it leading up to us recording tonight, unfortunately, I just kept thinking about what Louisville did successfully rather than what the Hounds did or didn't do. And I kept thinking in retrospect in this game that Louisville's thinking that was the perfect performance for them in an away match against a foreign team. They came, they sat deep, they absorbed pressure, they got their goal, and then were just relentless in their dark arts of the soccer. I mean, if you look, every single time there's a goal kick, goalie goes over, gets his water bottle, takes a drink, kills some time, then kicks it. And then, you know, we all hate him, but who's their captain? Piccolo?
Three Ninja Snyder?
Del Piccolo.
Del Piccolo.
I mean, he's yelling at the ref at every possible moment and saying, no, you got that wrong, no, you got that right. Eventually gets sent off. And then even when he's getting sent off, it takes forever. And as a Riverhounds fan or as a fan of any team that they're playing, you hate that. But I'm sure every Louisville fan is saying, yeah, great. Like this is exactly what we want to do. You know, they got the result. And I would say in the end, it was a fairly entertaining game that the Hounds did pretty well in. But Louisville did what I exactly expected Louisville to do, and they did it really well.
Yeah. I guess, you know, the one positive when you look over the stretch is that the Hounds have only given up one goal in their past 4 league games. The downside is they've only scored 3 goals in the past 4 league games. So, you know, what I'm about to get into is going to feel very negative. And I don't want people to feel like this is just a gut reaction based on this one game. Oh no, the Hounds lost. Now we're going to be negative again. No, that's not it at all. Like, we won the games that we needed to win. We knew that this game was going to be more difficult because Louisville is a legit team. Not saying that Toronto and Ottawa and Harrisburg aren't legit teams. We'll get to Harrisburg in a minute. But there were some warning signs, I think, if you look at some of the previous games, that things may not be firing on all cylinders, if you will. I thought that there were a few coaching decisions in this game. Again, I think that Coach Brand has done a great job in changing the mentality of the team, but I feel like there are some decisions that I still, it leaves me scratching my head a bit. One is playing Okai with Soto, or Solto, sorry. My big question is why. You know, when we had Victor on, he talked about how he loves playing as a holding midfielder, and we've said all season how he's just been amazing at that role. And you put somebody like Okai in, and most of the time, if you watch this game, Okai is either completely in line with Solto or he's behind him. And most of Okai's passes are either going sideways or they're going backwards. And I feel like the Hounds really need to have an attacking midfielder paired up with Solto. And I think that...
But who is that? I agree with you. But I don't... I mean, is Obinwa hurt? I don't know what...
Obinwa was on the bench. So okay. That's why I wasn't sure why he wasn't in. Honestly, I think we're getting to the point where we've talked about, well, you know, the Hounds are winning and they're getting clean sheets, so you just sort of keep doing what you're doing. I think in this game, we had a number of opportunities to score. We just didn't put it away. I think it's time that, you know, I think Romeo Parks has shown, for good or bad, that he probably deserves to start. I think it's time you slide Kevin Kerr back and let him be the attacking midfielder and work in tandem with Corey and Romeo up top, but be that outlet for Victor. Because as early as 30 minutes in, you had Kevin Kerr sliding all the way back deep in the midfield to collect the ball. Like, yes, his creativity attacking up top is very important to the team and can be a huge asset to the team, but he also wants to have the ball at his feet. And too many times it feels like we're the way we want to attack the game is to play long balls over the top and let Kevin and Corey create. And too many times for me, the long balls that are played over the top are actually played to Kevin and Corey's heads with their back to goal, and that's not doing us any good. If we're playing over the top and we're allowing them to run onto the ball, great. But it feels like too many times if they're heading the ball backwards, then it sort of negates any of that, you know, creativity that they can, you know, just go off and create some magic on their own.
And even still, I mean, Herzog and Kerr aren't the fastest players. I mean, so, you know, if they get in a foot race, yeah, I mean, they'll beat the opposition center back every once in a while. I know, for me, I have no idea what Kerr's best position is. He's a good player. And yeah. I think he's a rightful captain, and he works the socks off, and I appreciate that so much. But I mean, I don't think it's an affront to. It might be as a slightly deeper player in a front three where two of them are maybe more advanced and he's maybe slightly deeper. I don't necessarily know if he works right in the middle of the midfield either. I haven't seen him enough there, I guess. I don't know. But I think it is a tough one to think about as far as, yeah, you know, where he sits and all that kind of stuff. I completely agree with you, though. I think Romeo... I want to see him start now. You know, he's had enough time, two subs in a row where both times he's come on and showed moments of class, and he's certainly an answer to a lack of goals over the past four games.
It pains me because I really like Kay Banjo, and I'd like to see him get some time, but I think doing a formation shift like this could actually get Kay more time. Because you get into a situation where now if both Parks and Herzog are up top, if you need to spell one of them, you know, Kay comes in, fresh legs on 60, and can start to terrorize people up top. And you still sort of leave Kevin in the midfield to work some magic there. So that's what I'd like to see. Whether or not it's going to happen, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, part of me, I don't know. It's tough because I don't want to drop Jack or Marshall Hollingsworth. Because both of them, I think, have had really solid seasons so far. Jack Thompson, Jamal Jack as well. But if we go to something like a 4-3-3 and just and go just kind of crazy attacking. And I don't know, more and more I've been thinking, you know, like, system's great, structure's great. I'm a huge follower of that philosophy and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes it's just best to get your best players on the pitch, no matter how, you know, no matter what, no matter. And so you can envisage, that's not the right word. Envision. There it is. like a 4-3-3 with a front three, a Herzog, Banjo, and Parks, and a midfield three, a Soltho, Kerr, and maybe Aubinois, or Hollingsworth, or Thompson. You know, it changes things up for sure, but I mean, it's just, because I agree with you. I want to see Banjo on the pitch. I want to see Parks on the pitch. I don't necessarily want to see Kerr drop out of the lineup. You have to start Herzog. So it's a system that would allow everyone to get on the pitch at the same time, but I don't know if that's...
Barcelona.
We're not Barcelona.
Did I call for this like 3 weeks ago?
Where
I
said, we're not
Barcelona. Do the 4-3-3. I don't think we're going to do a 4-3-3. We'll see. One of the other things that I thought that just, again... You know, full props to Coach Brandt, but there was one decision that so we went with Connor Maloney, who was on loan from Columbus at left back, I believe, and Taylor Washington was at right back. And 17 minutes into the game, I noticed that they had switched sides because Louisville was just attacking like crazy down our left side. And once we did that, you know, Taylor did a good job of sort of snuffing that out and keeping them at bay a little bit. But I guess my big question is, why didn't we start that way? You know, when we had the barrel proof guys on, they told us, hey, what we're going to want to do is get the ball wide on the left side, pick on your new guy a little bit, and just send in crosses. So if the fans know that, I think Louisville knows that. How the Hounds didn't know that and just start that way?
I'm sure he knew that. I'm sure he just saw enough in training to suggest that, no, this guy can stand up to it or whatever like that. But you're right. I mean, so I don't know why, but I'm drawing a massive blank right now. Taylor Washington's like traditional position is left back, right? It's not right back. Bolshin was right back, right? See, like I'm second guessing myself.
No. Taylor traditionally plays left back.
Okay. So yeah, no, and yeah, yeah. Taylor's a really good player. He's had a really good season so far, and it is a bit odd to kind of push him out of position. I don't know.
No, I'm thrilled with his versatility. You know, like I said, there have been a few games this season where teams have tried to attack on one side, and you'll see the Hounds will make a switch to bring Taylor over on that side, and it seems like any attempts to attack down that side sort of just completely end with his presence there. So no, I'm thrilled that we have a player like him that can step in and do that. It's just one of those things where if we knew that the left side was sort of their strength, you know, maybe we start him there instead. But hindsight is always 20/20, so I can't, you know, if I'm in coach's shoes, I can't say that I maybe would have done anything different. Maybe it's like you said, they acknowledged that it was there and just felt that they had it covered. What else, Kev? What else did you see in this game?
And once again, I'm drawing a blank. Our new center back on loan,
Abubakar.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good.
Yeah, he played with us in one other game. Was it? It was an away game.
Really?
Charlotte. Yeah. Yeah, he played with us in Charlotte. And we were right. Dude is a beast. Yeah.
What was his deal? Why did he drop out?
Because he's on loan from Columbus. So he came down and played with us for one game, and then he went back to Columbus. You may have forgotten because the announcers butchered his name the entire game. It was terrible. yeah. Let's talk about Abubakar, and you know, I thought he had a really strong game.
Yeah.
Love to see him stay down longer, but again, who knows? I don't even think, was Jack on the bench? I don't know if he picked up a knock or not, but no, I like the way he plays. He's an aggressive player. He's
incredible physical attributes. I mean, he's big, he's strong, and he's fast. He can jump. I mean, he's an incredible physical athlete.
And he was taken fifth overall in the MLS draft. Did you know that, Kev? Did you know he was taken fifth overall? Yeah. Do you know why you know that? Because that was the only thing the announcers knew to say about him, other than butchering his name.
To be fair, I actually thought the one announcer, he was the ex-keeper or something.
Yeah.
I actually thought he was okay. I thought he brought up some good kind of tactical points and all that kind of stuff. But
see, here's the thing. Here's what got it for me. The other announcer mentioned that the Pens and Senators were playing, and all of a sudden they both seemed like they were more excited about the Pens and Senators than they were talking about the game that they were watching. So a few things on the announcers, and because I feel like we should just let this go, because I don't see it changing. I don't know what happened to Paul and Gene. I don't know why they're not letting the Hounds do their own thing. But one, I felt like, for those who watched the game, there was a certain emphasis at one point where verbatim they said, Steel Army, certainly one of the best fan groups in the OSL, which I don't disagree with, but it also felt a little bit like it was forced in reaction to the fact that these same announcers called them the Pittsburgh Rowdies last time they called the games, and they caught a bunch of flack on it online.
I mean, at least they're trying to correct their mistakes a little bit. I mean, that's...
Honestly, okay, I'm just going to put it out there. I literally turned the sound off because I was getting so upset listening to them because they would say like, oh, great shot by Kerr, and it was clearly Herzog. Or, you know, they would just blatantly get players' names wrong. They would. So I literally turned it off. I desperately want to record our own audio and just do like you and I and Josh or whoever else is around, just maybe get John Krasinski in as well, and we just call the game.
You know,
and
that
like,
first people, time we do it, it's going to be terrible. Look, just like our first podcast.
So here's the reason why it's going to be really difficult. It's not as simple as just like, oh, we'll do it and people can listen to it. One, because it's on YouTube, all of us are watching the game, but the game may be slightly buffered. We tried this once before when we did a big hangout, and like some of us are a few seconds ahead, some of us are a few seconds behind. So if you want to listen to us call the game and you're trying to watch the game in real time, it's the same exact thing. The Steelers had this problem with Myron Cope, where a lot of people would want to listen to Cope, but the radio wouldn't sync up perfectly to the game. They figured that out in later years. I am still searching for a solution where we could stream both the video and have our audio overlaid over top of it. If anybody knows anything, any sort of audio files out there that knows how this could work, let us know, because this insanity with these announcers needs to end. It's just not acceptable. Like,
well, I mean, another option is just like, forget us and let's just try to do everything we can to get our old announcers back.
Oh, I would love to have Gene and Paul back. I'd love to do it. Yeah, if there's anybody in the Hounds front office, Anthony, Simon, you guys know anything about this and there's anything we can do, some petitions to get going or something to get Gene and Paul back, please let us know. Because this is just...
Yeah, they're boss. They're amazing.
It's ludicrous. So, yeah, so that's my rant.
Are you done with the announcers? Our subs bench actually looked pretty good. We had Broom, Fitzpatrick, Green, Jack was on the bench, Obinwa, Parks, and Nick Thompson. I mean, that's I'm encouraged to see that. I mean, that gives Coach Brent options, and that was good to see. So,
yeah, no, I agree. You know, part of that is because we had two guys on loan from Columbus to come down and help.
Sure.
And we'll talk a little bit about the depth here in a second. Yeah, otherwise, you know, I don't know. I mean, even towards the end, it didn't really feel like a goal was coming. We had a few chances that just kept missing wide.
Maybe at the very end, but I think we kind of came into it a lot in at the beginning to middle of the second half. I think the first half is a pretty drab match. Not a lot going on. Louisville did a really good job kind of killing the game. But in the second half, I thought we created more chances. And I think on another day, you know, if we play this game 10 times, I think we get a result 3 to 4 times out of 10. I think we weren't that far away from at least getting a draw in this game. I thought the Hounds played pretty well. And once again, I'm pretty sure this kind of continues our run where like we haven't lost a game by more than a goal. So no one's carved us open, right? I mean, and we've shown that we're pretty solid defensively. No one's dominating us. And everyone
except,
leading
except,
up
to, except for Chicago United FC, which we'll get to.
everyone leading up to this game was like, this is going to be a good test for the Hounds. This is going to be a good, and it was. I mean, Louisville's a good team, and we didn't get the result we wanted to, but at the same time, I thought we played fairly well. There was good signs. And I don't know. This was a question I wanted to ask you while you were kind of recapping all this stuff. But before ball was kicked in this game, we were third in the East, right?
Right.
I mean, do you honestly, in your heart of hearts, think that, yeah, that's where we belong and we deserve to be in that third spot? I personally think, especially after the season we had last year, look, I mean, I love the Hounds. I think we have great players. I like Coach Brent a lot. But there kind of, not needs to be, but you would expect there to be this kind of stepping stone progress markers over the course of the next year, 2 years, 3 years. And that's what I'm more kind of, I don't know, adjusted to, where I think we're a playoff team and I think we'll get in the playoffs, but third in the East, I think that was a slightly, what's the word I'm looking for? Like false position. But I don't know. What do you think we're,
See, what I'm about to say is probably going to contradict everything that I was about to ask you. Because I was going to ask you if not
taking... You love throwing contradictions out there, Mike.
I do. I was going to ask you if not taking this game in a vacuum, are you at all concerned about the Hounds? But we'll get to that. Do I think that this team deserved to be in third place? There's a few things. I agree with you. I think that they're a playoff team. Do I think that they will finish the season third in the East? I think there's a lot of things that would have to go right for that to happen. I think there were some things that played in our favor that allowed us to jump up the table as quickly as we did, namely Toronto, Ottawa, and Harrisburg. We picked up 9 points right there, which was great. That's what you need to do. But we weren't playing these tougher teams like the Rowdies, like Louisville. Like, you know, we did get a draw out of the Battery, which are currently at the top of the table in the East. So I think that we have a good chance to finish, you know, six-ish. Like, that's sort of where I see this team falling. I think if a number of things go right, then I could see us finishing third. But, yeah, I think a lot of people could sort of look at three and be like, hey, man, we're number three in the league. But you also look, we played two more games than a lot of the teams out there. So there's a number of factors that sort of went into us being in third, which it's great. I will take third over last place any day. I'm not complaining. It's
right.
Just...
No, and I never want to, like, temper expectations, right? I mean, we all want to finish first. We all want to, you know, do as best as we can. And to some degree, we kind of expect that because, you know, if you're not into sport for nothing else, I mean, you know, why are you supporting the team? But at the same time, I think if you look at this four-game stretch that we just went through, and if I offered you 9 points... You would have said, of course, I'll take that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's one of those where I look back at the past four games and think, yeah, we're right on schedule.
How many times last year did we go, hey, if we
could just have
1 point a game, just 1 point a game, like, we'll be happy.
Yeah.
And, like, joking. And then it didn't happen. And we were like, seriously?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, absolutely. I'm not complaining. And, you know, the positive spin on this is that you look, you know, coming out of this weekend, we get Harrisburg, we get OCB, and we get Toronto over the next three games. So that could be another 9 points right there if the Hounds are on the game. And I also want to say, I think the Hounds have the potential, looking at all the teams out there, if Louisville, you know, if Louisville comes in and we lose 1-0 in this game and we had opportunities, but things weren't clicking right. This game, if things were clicking right, this game easily could have been a draw or it could have been 3 points. You look at somebody like the Battery, the fact that we're able to go into Charleston and get a point off of Charleston, who are now like the league leaders in the East, we can compete with these top teams. You know, if things start clicking, I could easily see the Hounds being a top three team. But, you know, saying like, let's rely on things clicking is, you know, like, let's say, you know, rely on, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, on our day, I don't fear a single team in the league. I think on our day we can go toe to toe with anyone, and that's, I think, the biggest positive when you look in contrast to the last season we had last year. But at the same time, yeah, exactly what you're saying, you wouldn't necessarily expect to beat everyone. But I think we're good enough. We have a good enough squad. We have a good enough coach. I think we've showed how strong we are defensively over the past multiple games. I think Parks, who, if he can start hitting some form here, if Hertzog can honestly just keep doing what he's doing. I mean, it's weird because you look back, okay, we didn't score this game, we've only scored one goal, and so, but a lot of those are coming from Herzog, so you can't, I can't put too much more on him. You know, once again, it kind of needs to be more of a, I want to see more goals from Kerr, I want to see more goals from Hollingsworth, and goals from the midfield, yeah, if we can get that going, if we can get Parks on the field and him banging in some goals, I think we'll be in a really good position.
Yeah. You know, I will mention the Nightingale wrote a piece with his thoughts on Louisville. He sort of reiterated what one of the announcers said, which I was just like, come on, guys. But they basically said, you know, that Herzog had a number of chances and he was missing the net on a bunch of them. And they said, like, that's why he's in the USL and not the MLS. And it's like, yeah, but you know, you don't want to just loosely throw out comments like that when you know the dude's busting his butt day in and day out. You know, there are just some games where it's just not going. So
yeah, I mean, I think every player can have that. I mean, I could equally go back and contrast his missed opportunities in this game with the goal of the week that he scored in the first week against the Red Bulls, right, too, where he dances around three people on the touchline and puts it in. I mean, so he has unquestionable talent. It's just, you know, it's I think every player has off days, and it's, yeah, maybe the Louisville game was one of those days for him.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, let's put this game to bed. Hounds lose 1-0. But, you know, we have to turn around, and we'll talk about Harrisburg here in a minute as we travel to Harrisburg for Wednesday. But first, let's talk about a little bit of U.S. Open Cup. Got to give a shout out to the Tartan Devils. You know, congratulations to the team. They hosted Louisville midweek. Unfortunately, they lost. But, you know, you guys definitely still made the fans and city proud for making it as far as you guys did in the competition. So, EJ, again, thanks for being on the show. Everybody on the team, congrats, guys. You know, it's just awesome. It's an awesome story. Complete amateurs. It sounded like you guys were getting buzz everywhere. Like, you listen to podcasts from literally all over the country, and people are like, I had no idea what a Tartan Devil even was, and now because of the U.S. Open Cup, like, they are on my radar. And they tweeted out the following day, work was fine today, just in case you were wondering.
That was my favorite part.
Play like devils, hashtag work like devils, hashtag repeat. So wild teams like Louisville and you know, even the PDL team that they played, you know, they train day in and day out, and that's their jobs. These guys all have full-time jobs, man. They get together and they play on the weekend, and here they are in the U.S. Open Cup getting a chance to play at Highmark Field against professional teams.
I saw some of the pictures on Twitter. I mean, it was brilliant just to see their logo on, like, the Highmark Jumbotron, and, yeah, and, you know, I saw all the wait, they were selling merchandise, right, at yeah, Highmark? Yeah, I mean, that was awesome. And so, yeah, it was brilliant to watch it from afar. So I can only imagine what it was like to be there.
And I saw it looked like there were some polls online to vote for the best. I don't know if it's the best logo in the U.S. Open Cup or just like the best amateur logo.
Yeah, the best crest. Yeah,
or yeah, like, and far and away, they've got to win. Like, I still look at that thing and I'm like, I'm impressed. Like,
yeah,
that's
good.
Their crest is awesome. So Tartan Devils, man, guys, congrats. Hopefully we see you back in the mix next year. And we'll definitely have to have you on the show, you know, throughout the rest of this season, just to sort of get your thoughts on the Hounds and things like that. So, on the flip side, the Hounds traveled to Chicago and lost 3-1 to Chicago FC United. They were one of only two USL teams to lose in the second round of the U.S. Open Cup. So, my gut reaction is, why does the U.S. Cup Open Cup matter anyway? And I feel like that's just like the fans, like, I don't even care. Like, I'm going home.
It's the equivalent to, like, you're a kid at Toys R Us and you really want a toy, and your parents say, no, you can't have that. And you're like, fine, I didn't want it anyway.
Yeah, I don't want a toy. I don't want to be in this stupid tournament. You keep me the truth of the matter is that the U.S. Open Cup traditionally goes to an MLS team anyway. So, you know, you have all these amateur teams, they come up through. The cup itself, in this case, is not the prize. The prize is the games that you get to see played throughout the tournament. It's getting to see the Tartan Devils versus Louisville at Highmark Stadium. And so I think that the prize for the Hounds, in any case, year in and year out in the U.S. Open Cup, is to play a team like an MLS team and get that opportunity to go play at a higher level, potentially host a USL team at Highmark Stadium, to sort of pack the stadium, get more interest in the team, things like that. And so anytime the team bows out early, you're missing that opportunity. But I don't think that anybody thinks that the Hounds are a type of team that are going to win the U.S. Open Cup, you know, this year or next year.
I don't like that talk, Mike. You're always in it to win it. Come on.
I'm just saying.
Otherwise, why are you playing? Otherwise, why are you playing, Mike? I don't know. I know. Look, I agree with you. Realistically, it's you wouldn't have 100% expectation that, yeah, we're going to win the cup this year. But at the same time, you know, it's and like we were talking about previously, on our day, we can at least go toe-to-toe with any USL team. And I would imagine that would probably stand for the same comment for some of the worst teams in the MLS. So crazy things have happened. I mean, EJ was talking about that in the Tartan Devils. Crazier things have happened in sport. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I would love to see an MLS team come into Highmark and get the stadium packed and all that excitement. But being my, you know, being purely honest, you mentioned your gut reaction before. My gut reaction was, all right, fine. Like, yeah, I think it's also the context of our current season. If we were having another season like we were last season and we lose this game, I think I'm a lot more upset. And
let's not forget that last season Coach Steffen was fired after losing the US Open Cup match. I think a lot of people were up in arms of like, we're having a terrible season, at least we have to beat this, you know, minor league team, and we didn't. Whereas this season, we're coming off 9 points in 3 games and we lose in the US Open Cup match. It makes it a lot easier to swallow.
Yeah.
So the Hounds basically fielded, I don't want to say a full B team, but then, you know, after sort of seeing that it wasn't really going to cut it after FC United got a few goals, brought on Kerr, Herzog, Taylor Washington. Unfortunately, it was just too little too late. Our boy Kay Banjo got the lone goal for the Hounds. I called for 3. It's all right, Kay, you got one. We'll give it to you. Yeah, I mean, thoughts on the approach of not fielding the starters? I mean, would you have been surprised if we would have fielded the starters in this game?
Yeah, no, I would. I think it would have been a bit odd, especially with players like Banjo and Parks. And, you know, I think Jamal Jacks had a very solid run, but has been kind of pushed out a bit lately with, you know, Greenspan taking more of the spotlight. And it seems like we're getting loan players every week from Columbus. So, I mean, the squad keeps getting reshuffled around with players kind of falling off to the side. So this is the perfect platform for them to play and to impress for the coach and to get some match fitness in their legs and all that kind of stuff. I would have been shocked if the same starting 11 would have played. We see the starting lineup that we do. I'm sure Coach Brandt learned a lot from the players that he saw in that game. So hopefully it's a learning experience for him and the rest of the team, and they can kind of take some positives out of it.
Yeah. So not this year for the Hounds, for the US Open Cup, maybe next year.
but really, we don't care. Is the vibe? Not really, no.
I'm just
saying that's what.
I don't win it anyway.
It feels like that's what the vibe we're giving out right now, but it's not true.
It's not true. As Kevin's face is beat red and he keeps giggling. let's talk about Harrisburg a little bit. So the Hounds don't have a lot of time to recover from this Louisville match. We travel to Harrisburg on Wednesday for a 6:30 game. You know, the good news is that we'll play Harrisburg and then we'll get basically a week and a half off before our next game. The bad news is that Harrisburg is not the same team that we beat here at Highmark Stadium. Just this past weekend, they drew 2-2 to Charleston Battery, again, the league leaders in the East. Harrisburg scored basically in the 5th minute of stoppage time to get the point, so they were scrappy until the end. And really, you look at the stats in that game, they dominated in almost every single category. So this is not a team that's, you know, this is not a, Kev, like you say, one of the Canadian teams that's just going to, like, roll over and take it. We can't take this team lightly. And think that we're just going to walk in there and get a win like last time we played them. So
yeah, but I think at the same time, I mean, obviously everyone's going to be up for this game, especially, you know, losing midweek in the Open Cup, losing to Louisville in the way that we did. I think people are going to be eager to bounce back. And people are going to be up for this match anyway because it's Harrisburg, but add the added incentive of the past previous games. And hopefully just everyone's raring to go for this. I would expect a really kind of strong performance from the Hounds here. And and to be up for the battle and be willing to scrap, willing to win the battle before they can win the war, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. The other thing to mention is that, you know, it is obviously the Keystone Derby match. If the Hounds win this, they will clinch the Keystone Derby Cup, even though they still have a third game to play against Harrisburg in Harrisburg on August 12th. That game will just be a formality if we win this game, you know, aside from playing for league points. I did think it was an Old Guard Shield match, which, again, the Hounds are currently leading the Old Guard Shield standings by 1 point. But looking at sort of the table and how things are set up, I think the way the Old Guard Shield works is that they only, if you play a team more than twice, the third game doesn't count. And for whatever reason, this game has been highlighted as the one that doesn't count against the Old Guard Shield. So,
where's Josh when you need him?
I know, exactly. Dan, if I got that wrong, please let us know on Twitter. I think that's the way it is right now. So, yeah, Kev, what are your expectations for this game? How do you think the team lines up? Do you think they change things? And give us your score prediction.
Yeah, I mean, as far as lineups, I don't think you can drop Herzog. I don't see Brandt dropping Kerr. I don't think he can.
Kerr has been our standout player for the past three, 4 weeks.
I mean, I would disagree with that, but I've talked about
want to be the most famous Kevin in Pittsburgh.
Well, it's not. I think Kerr is a very good player. I think maybe just right now in the system that we're playing, and he's maybe a bit out of form. But I don't think he drops Kerr. I don't think he drops Herzog. But I think it'd be hard to not start Parks. So how that kind of switches things up. I mean, yeah, I would like to see maybe Kerr dropped in next to Solto, with Jack Thompson and Marshall Hollingsworth on either side of a midfield four, with Parks and Herzog up top. I think that's probably what I would do. Whether or not that's what I expect Coach Brandt to do is a whole other thing entirely.
Well, we've talked about, you know, as long as the Hounds were winning, your mentality was just keep doing what got you there. Considering this is a midweek game, considering that the Hounds just lost, do you think Coach Brandt makes a change like that? Or is it just, one game?
It certainly makes sense, right? Yeah, I mean, you're right. I kind of completely forgot about that.
But with one loss, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Sure.
So, like...
But it, at the very least, it gives you as the coach an obvious excuse to maybe try something that you've been wanting to try for a while. For you to throw in a Parks. It's hard to throw in a new signing like Romeo Parks in the middle of a three-game winning streak and drop someone to the bench. Yep. It's a bit easier after you fall out of the Open Cup and lose to Louisville at home. So... Yeah, but honestly, I think that's probably the only switch I'm making to look. I mean, maybe I would want to put Taylor Washington at starting at left back in that position. What you do at right back is maybe a question. But if Abubakar is he still around, I'd still like to pair him with Greenspan. Even though I really like Jamal Jack, I think he's a really good player. But I think for now, it's just, look, we have these guys on loan for a short period of time. Just kind of hang tight and we'll get you back in the squad kind of thing. But otherwise, I mean, if we can start Herzog, Parks, you know, Kerr, Solto, Abubakar, and Greenspan, I'm extremely confident no matter who we play, especially being Harrisburg, though.
So give me your score prediction. What are you going with?
I'm going to go... I think we finally get over our one goal scored hump, and I think we get back to clean sheet ways, and I'll say 2-0.
Nice. I was going to say, and I'll still say, I'll say 3-1. I agree with you. I think if we make a change, this may be one of those things where, you know, the team comes out. I think I almost liken it to the very first game of the season, where there was a lot of question, you know, largely from us and other people, of like, can a partnership of Kerr and Herzog up top really work? And then it comes out like, yeah, we'll show you how it works. And, you know, they get a bunch of goals in that first game. I think if given the chance, you know, you say, okay, let's do Herzog, Parks, and Kerr sort of working together up top, I think that could be one of those, like, okay, we just lost to Louisville, like you said, let's go out and prove to people that we can score here. And they just go gangbusters.
I would expect... I'm thinking, all right, Parks gets his goal now. You know, I've been kind of maybe overly optimistically eager for like, oh, Park steps on the field, he's getting a goal.
We are realistic on every one of these shows, Kevin. Don't you say anything otherwise.
But I think, you know, especially if he gets a start here, you know, I would go, okay, yeah, Parks is, you know, odds on to get a goal here.
I would say for Harrisburg, I'm going to go out and say that Skinny Thor, a.k.a. Aaron Wheeler, gets the goal for them. Just because I've said this before, I don't want to say I feel bad for Harrisburg player because that, you know, that's like kissing your sister. It just feels like every time I see the guy play, he either gets injured and has to leave the game, or there was a few games where like he's playing with half a jersey because somebody like ripped it off him. Dude just can't catch a break. So he's been in there. He's been a key part of their offense to date. I think I'd love to see us get another clean sheet, but I think Harrisburg is, they may get lucky, and I think he may put one in off his head for a set piece. But I still think that the Hounds come out and blow it out 3-1, get back to the winning ways. They won't celebrate the Keystone Derby Cup yet because one of the big news, well, I shouldn't say big news, but the Steel Army came out and announced that they are planning a bus trip to Harrisburg, not for this game, but for the one on August 12th. So more details on that forthcoming. But yeah, it would be great to ride out with the Steel Army knowing we've already won it and just party like crazy that entire evening. So yeah, that's all I see it shaking out. We'll see. Let us know how you think this game shakes out. You know, scoreline and who scores. We'll make it interesting. One of the other pieces of news, the Steel Army also announced they are planning on doing a TIFO for the 4th of July game, which is Charlotte Independence. They're looking for painters and brushes. There's also more details forthcoming on that. So I'm sure you can find out more information over on their website, or you can follow them on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. I guess two other bits of news. One, Josh, how's it going, buddy? I'm sure you're listening to this right now. This is coming straight to you. Josh is at a wedding this weekend in California, so that's why he is unable to join us.
What a place to have a wedding. That's nice.
I know. So I've been seeing a few pictures, you know, that have been coming through. Looks like you guys are having a great time, Josh and Liz. So hopefully that's the case. Have a safe trip back. One other thing, talking about safe trip back, we are putting together the details. Kevin, your eyes got really big. Like, what's he talking about?
Yeah, no clue.
I know, right? So the let me pull up the exact date here. The August 26th game,
right,
Riverhounds versus Bethlehem Steel. Somebody else is coming back to town, Kev.
Oh, I'm coming back, Mike.
Kevin's coming back to town, Pittsburgh. And we are making it a point of dragging him to that game. So
you don't need to drag me.
I know, I shouldn't have said drag you, but you're coming back for. It's funny because our parents are trying to plan like this vacation, and my mom is specifically trying to plan it around Riverhounds home games so that Kevin can come home and then go see a Riverhounds game with us in person. So yeah, if you're looking for every game is a fun game, but that'll probably be the first one where you, me, Josh, hopefully Rachel will be there as well.
Yeah,
and maybe we'll bump into John and everybody else that we've talked to over the past however many years. We'll all just get together and hang out and have a blast at the game in person for a change. Yeah,
I'm excited. I want it to happen like next week, man. It's like you got me more excited by saying all that.
Yeah, I know. And you know, it's Bethlehem Steel. So our buddy Evan, who has not been on the show yet, but will be on the show whenever we talk about Bethlehem. Evan, if you want to make the trip in, I'm sure, you know, we would welcome you as well. So good times. Circle that on your calendar. Going to be a lot of fun. Otherwise, I think that's it for this episode. Anything else, Kev?
I'm shaking my head. I forget. There was one thing I wanted to talk about, but now I forget it. So let's just wrap it up.
All right, we'll save it for the next show. We will be back again next Monday. Like we said, we know that the Hounds are playing Harrisburg on Wednesday, but you know, we like to keep to a schedule here. So make sure that you watch the game. You know, send us your thoughts on the game. I'm sure Rachel will have her recap up on the site. Who knows? We may get Richard's recap up on the site too. We are starting to just crank out a ton of content between the podcast, between the recaps, between Rachel's other pieces that she's been writing, between Richard's opinion pieces. We're trying to make mongols.com sort of like that home for all of your Riverhound news, free Riverhound news. But you know, if you have ideas or comments or questions or thoughts or anything like that you want to share with the community, we are here. We are, you know, we've always said we want to sort of be that water cooler that everybody talks about the Hounds. So yeah, don't be afraid to reach out to us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Mongols. You can email us at mongols@bgn.fm. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show. Please leave us a review. And if you're looking for more great soccer podcasts, head over to the Beautiful Game Network at bgn.fm. Otherwise, let us know what you thought about the show. Hounds, like we said, can clinch the Keystone Derby Cup with a win on Wednesday. So get it done, boys. And thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers. Later.
I was gonna say later. It feels weird without a later. Sorry.
Before you go, please help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongols.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongols.com. Click on Become a Supporter. Mongols.com. Become a Supporter. Thanks.